Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators, keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
On a Tuesday night, the first Tuesday evening where Nolan Arenado is no longer a part of the Cardinals organization, we welcome you in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We got a lot to get to over the next couple hours. So I'll tell you this. We got a number of guests that are going to be on the show. We scheduled a couple guests for the 6 o'clock hour before the Arenado news even came down. I wasn't going to cancel because it's still good stuff. Jordan DeJani is going to join us in about 10 minutes. He's an NFL writer for CBS Sports. We'll talk through the NFL playoffs. And then we've got our weekly visit with Hockey Amy. Amy Marks, of course, to talk Blues hockey. We'll do that at 6:35. So we do have two non-Cardinals segments. I know a lot of people are tuned in just wanting to talk Cardinal baseball. So I'm looking forward to those conversations. I know there's some people out there that just went 2 hours of nonstop Cardinals. Outside of those two segments, that's what you're going to get. We're going all Cardinals today off the Nolan Arenado news. You've just gotten nothing but Cardinals during the 5 o'clock hour with Rush Hour Sports. And we're going to mostly continue that today. Our other guest tonight is going to be Alex Coyle. He's going to join us at 7:05. He is the Memphis Redbirds broadcaster, but that's his summer job. His non-summer, I make it sound like he's a 12-year-old kid delivering newspapers. That's his summer job. His other job is he is part of the broadcast team with Arizona State, and he's been around that baseball program, meaning he got the opportunity to see Jack Martinez as a college baseball player. So we're going to get a scouting report from Alex Coyle, and he's going to join us at about 7:05, which is really interesting because he has intimate knowledge of the St. Louis Cardinals organization. So being able to listen to him talk about Martinez through the lens of what he's going to do for the Cardinals, a very cool thing. So Alex is going to join us at 7:05. We'll spend much of the 7 o'clock hour also going back through what Chaim Bloom had to say today during his media Zoom. So you'll hear that, but we'll also kind of that hour outside of Alex, and really once we're done with Amy at 6:30, when we get into the end of this hour and we go all Cardinals all the time for the rest of the way, we'll filter in your comments, your calls into that with comments from Heim Bloom. So it's going to be very interactive. If you want to get in here, you can do so. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Again, that's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. And for the many of you who are watching right now on our video stream via Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, just keep those comments coming in the chat. And we will address those as we go along. I am not surprised at all that Nolan Arenado got moved. I did not expect a repeat of what happened last year, because he was just about traded to the Houston Astros last year, and then he said no, and that was it. All of a sudden, the next thing you knew, spring training was here, and he was a Cardinal, and he remained a Cardinal for the rest of the year. I didn't think that was going to happen this year. I thought Heim Bloom was even more motivated than John Mozeliak was last season, and I think Nolan Arenado was more motivated as well. I believe there were more teams on his list that he was willing to go to, and I think there were less obstacles to getting it done. And then the Cardinals proved, because if they would have pulled off that deal with the Astros last year, I should have looked this up before the show got started, because the money was reported last year on how much the Cardinals were going to send to Houston. It was less money that they were going to be sending than what they're doing this year. So the Cardinals are on the hook for more money now. Now, there's one less year because he played the full year this past season with the team, obviously. But the financial hit to the Cardinals is more this year than it would have been last year had they been able to get that deal done. I'm not trying. I understand the sentiment out there from people who love Nolan Arenado, love watching Arenado play, love what he stands for. But if you really thought that he was going to, if you thought the Cardinals were going to be a lot better because Arenado was on the roster, I unfortunately think you're wrong. And that's not a shot at Arenado. It's not. It's the state of where he is at right now as a player. He is somebody who has a hard time staying healthy. He's somebody who doesn't want to come out of the lineup. And he's somebody who offensively just does not provide you that much anymore. That's not to take anything away from who he is defensively. He is still a top third, probably, in baseball, defensive third baseman. He's not the best third baseman walking the face of the earth like he was for the better part of 10-plus years. But he's still really good. He's still a really good defensive third baseman. But he is a player offensively, very much a player in decline. Now, does he have an opportunity to have a little bit of a bounce back? I think him going to Arizona makes all the sense in the world. It gets him back into that part of the country. He had so much success with the Rockies. He's very familiar there. Like, it just, every, that was the team that made the most sense from Jump Street this offseason. That was the team that made the most sense for him to go to. It was always the Diamondbacks that they could work it out. And now he goes there, and I think he'll have a little bit of an offensive renaissance. I would expect that he actually has a nice start to the season because he's putting in all this work in the offseason like he always does, kind of like this past year. Bat speed was way up at the beginning of this past season, then eventually came back. I am rooting for the guy. If he has a huge renaissance, if he goes back to who he was in 2020, let's see, he's not going back to his top three MVP, but if he goes back to being an almost 800 OPS guy like he was in 2023, if that's who he is, that's great. Let's be happy for him. I don't think that was going to happen in St. Louis. It gives the Cardinals the opportunity to do some other things. All right, again, we are doing mostly baseball today. We will step aside for some football and some hockey for the next 25 minutes or so, and then we'll jump right back into baseball. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be joined by Jordan Dejani from CBS Sports, talk through the NFL weekend. He joins us in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly. I'm mostly talking baseball today with the news that Nolan Arenado has been traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks. We're going to get a little football in here, a little hockey, and then we'll jump right back into full Arenado coverage here on KMOX. But right now, we are very happy to welcome on to the show. Covers the NFL nationally for CBS Sports as a writer. You follow him on Twitter at Jordan Dajani. That's D-A-J-A-N-I. Jordan Dajani joins us. Jordan, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Matt Pauly, my man, what's going on? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. So news of the day, Mike Tomlin has stepped away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. What was your initial reaction?
To be honest with you, I wasn't too surprised. I feel like there was a lot of smoke around this situation over the past few weeks, if not the past few months. And we all knew that Mike Tomlin wasn't going to be fired by the Pittsburgh Steelers. If he was going to step down, it was because it was his own volition and he was going to be interested in going and doing something else, such as maybe being an analyst for one of the major TV networks. Now, as for why Mike Tomlin decided to step down, I don't know why. I don't have any inside information, but I can recklessly speculate for you. I think that Mike Tomlin probably felt a bit underappreciated, right? He was always fielding a competitive team, never had a losing season, but he's really struggled to get over the hump in the playoffs, and that became more apparent recently. He just became the first head coach in NFL history to lose five straight playoff games by double digits, and I feel like his Steelers were never quote-unquote bad, and he deserves some credit for that. But Mike Tomlin and how he's viewed in Pittsburgh, there are a lot of people up there in the Steel City that are celebrating Mike Tomlin stepping down and going to embrace the beginning of a new era. But on top of that, I feel like Mike Tomlin also was kind of tired, right? He's had the same kind of season, like 5 years in a row now, where the Steelers have been riding the quarterback carousel. They win 9 or 10 games, and then they lose in the playoffs. So I bet Mike Tomlin is drained after 19 years, and he knows he can make some good money sitting at a desk and talking about football one day a week. So I bet that's incredibly attractive and so much less stressful for Mike Tomlin.
Would I be correct if Aaron Rodgers went to Pittsburgh to play for Mike Tomlin, it feels like this is it. Like, any chance of him coming back to the Steelers, I would have thought would have been connected to Tomlin, and I don't see him going playing for anybody else. We likely saw the end of Tomlin as the Steelers coach and Rodgers as an NFL quarterback in that game, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, I have a buddy who was in the press box and in the press conferences last night, and he kind of echoed those same sentiments, saying that the way that Aaron Rodgers was answering questions, the way that he was speaking and walking around kind of felt like this was it. And as you mentioned, the Mike Tomlin connection, if Mike Tomlin's stepping down from his seat in Pittsburgh, it's hard to imagine Aaron Rodgers will be back.
I'm asking you to predict the future. The Steelers have this incredible run of basically three coaches over a very, very long amount of time. Is this an organization that's ready to go find another guy and make that right decision that can be there for an extended amount of time like we saw with the three guys?
I think they want to. They're not used to head coaching searches, of course, so it's kind of hard to see what they want. But I will point this out. The last three Steelers head coaching hires were defensive coordinators in their 30s with zero head coaching experience. And there are only two men that currently check those boxes. That's Chris Shula from the Los Angeles Rams and Kelvin Shepard from the Detroit Lions. So I guess those are the two favorites to land the job. No, but to your point, I think that the Steelers are an attractive job. Listen, there's pros and cons for all these jobs, but the most pro for the Steelers job is that they want to have that consistency with a lead man. They want to give that guy a long leash and really build around him. So I really do feel like the Steelers are going to approach this search as we're going to try to find the guy that's not only going to get us on track eventually, but do it quickly and also be a staple for years to come.
It's really easy to be a prisoner of the moment, but Jordan, just how good was this weekend of football with all those fourth quarter back and forths and so many road teams winning? I mean, there were incredible narratives all weekend long.
It was magical. It was magical. I mean, the 2025 postseason already has the most fourth quarter lead changes of all time, the most game-winning touchdowns in the final 3 minutes of regulation in a single postseason all time. The Chicago Bears had the best postseason comeback in franchise history, and it comes against the rival Green Bay Packers. You have Josh Allen beat one of the hottest teams in the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the San Francisco 49ers, they just won't die. They beat the reigning Super Bowl champions on their home field. They just won't die. And now they have a chance to enact some revenge against the Seattle Seahawks in the divisional round. So a lot of intriguing storylines.
It sounds like Matt LaFleur is going to be back with the Packers. That's not a for sure thing. There's people in Philadelphia that want to see them move on from Nick Sirianni. What's the gamble when you've got a guy who's maybe been pretty successful, but maybe not as successful as a certain group of people think they should be, and you get into this spot where all of a sudden there's some clamoring around for a guy to lose their job?
It's a massive gamble, and I would not fire or part ways with either of those guys. Listen, I'm not the biggest Nick Sirianni fan in the entire world, but if you have that blind resume test and you put up that resume against basically any other coach in NFL history, it looks like he's kind of the superior lead man. So it always matters about the staff around you. We know that Philly has a good defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio. They need to find a good offensive coordinator such as a Shane Steichen that can come in and really be a good play caller to get the most out of that talented roster. When it comes to Matt LaFleur, I think that situation is a lot more interesting. And despite the report saying that they are talking about these contract extensions, I don't view that as a sure thing. We all know that contract negotiations can go south. So I'm not penciling in Matt LaFleur to return to Green Bay in 2026 just yet. I do like him as a head coach. I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee, so I was able to cover him when he was an offensive coordinator. I think more pressure should really be put on Jordan Love and the Packers offense as opposed to Matt LaFleur. If they decide to part ways with them or they cannot reach a deal, we all know that coaching purgatory is a very scary place to be, especially when you're a legendary organization such as the Green Bay Packers.
Does the presence of John Harbaugh as a free agent coach maybe impact some of these teams where they wouldn't make a change, but if they feel like they've got a shot at Harbaugh, that might push them into something?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you ask a good question because you can't fire your head coach and say, well, let's go get John Harbaugh. There's no guarantees in this world where you know you can have an agreement with him and bring him into your building. But what you're doing if you're a team such as the Miami Dolphins or hypothetically the Green Bay Packers is you're firing your head coach just to be in the sweepstakes for John Harbaugh. And some teams can be desperate and are more willing to embrace that change or reset, I guess we should say. It's very aggressive to do that. You know, I'm someone, for example, that is a big Mike McDaniel fan. If he were to land in Tennessee or as an offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions or Philadelphia Eagles, I'm sure he would be fantastic. But John Harbaugh really is regarded as a top five coach in the NFL right now and someone that is probably set on fire and motivated to make the most out of this next opportunity.
The 2-1 seeds that didn't play this weekend, the Broncos, they take on the Bills. The Seahawks have the 49ers. Do you feel like even with the I don't think either of those teams get to the Super Bowl even as the number one seed. Where are you at when you look at the Broncos and the Seahawks as they're going to join the party this upcoming weekend?
Yeah, it's tough because the Seahawks are the Super Bowl favorites right now. But in before the postseason started, my prediction was the Broncos to actually go to the Super Bowl and lose to the Los Angeles Rams. So I guess I have to lean towards liking Denver more. We all know they have an elite defense. They rank top three in points per game, yards per game, third down percentage. It really comes down to the performance of quarterback Bo Nix, who I think is really good, but we all know that offense with Sean Payton has not been very consistent this season. When it comes to the Seahawks, it's a very similar story, except they have one of the most elite defenses, more so than Denver, with Mike McDonald calling the shots there. The Seahawks have an easier path to victory, in my opinion, because it comes down to if Sam Darnold can take care of the football. Just rely on your epic ground game with Zach Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker. Hit your shots downfield to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but don't fumble, don't throw interceptions, and the Seattle Seahawks are a force to be reckoned with.
Not many people pick the Broncos to the Super Bowl begin the season. That's a pretty good call by you.
No, it wasn't before the season. I can't take credit for that. But before the playoffs,
gotcha. All right. I misheard you.
The number one seed. Yeah, I actually picked the Baltimore Ravens, so that didn't really work out. They didn't even make the postseason.
That did not. What's the game this weekend that you maybe have the most interest in? Is it that Broncos-Bills game that seems on paper to be really, really good?
It is. I think if I had to pick one, it's probably Broncos-Bills. But then again, the Los Angeles Rams have the Chicago Bears, right? Matthew Stafford has to win another road postseason game in a very cold environment against a former foe. The Rams were the team I picked to represent the NFC and actually win the entire thing. So I got to be kind of rooting for them. But, man, this Bears team's fun to watch because I don't think their defense is actually that good. I think they ranked in the bottom 10 when it comes to yards allowed per game. But, man, they were more opportunistic than any defense in the NFL. They, of course, led the league in takeaways. And we all know Caleb Williams is capable of some special magic in the fourth quarter. So that might end up being the game of the weekend.
Jordan DiGiani, he is fantastic covering the NFL, writing about the NFL, CBSSports.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Jordan DiGiani. Jordan, great to catch back up with you. Really enjoyed the conversation, and hopefully we can do it again down the line.
You're the man, Matt. Appreciate it, man.
Awesome. Very good. Jordan DiGiani joining us. We appreciate him spending a few moments with us. All right, we're going to jump into a little bit of hockey with Amy Marks, of course. And again, then we're going to get right back in to Cardinals baseball. That's what we're going to spend most of the time today with the Nolan Arenado trade. But wanted to do a little football, a little hockey in there as well. Amy joins us in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on KMOX on the day that Nolan Arenado was traded by the Cardinals. We're doing mostly Cardinals. Did nothing but that during Rush Hour Sports. We're talking a little hockey here, and then we're going to jump right back into that. Taking your phone calls, your texts, your tweets. We'll be doing all that, plus hearing a bit from Heim Bloom. And we'll talk with Alex Coyle about the pitcher that the Cardinals are getting back. But right now, let's talk a little bit of Blues hockey as they are getting underway. They are in action this evening, matched up against the Carolina Hurricanes over at the Enterprise Center. At Enterprise Center, it's Hockey Amy. Amy Marks, of course, for her weekly conversation with us here on Sports Open Line. Hi, Amy.
Yeah. Hey, Matt. How are you? I can't believe you guys are talking to me on Nolan Arenado Day.
I mean, I wasn't going to cancel with you. Wouldn't that be rude?
I mean, here's the thing. I understand. We are the flagship for the Cardinals, or the mothership, as I like to say. KMOX, we're the mothership. So the Cardinals, man, they're king at KMOX, right?
They are. They are, and rightfully so. But it's not that the Blues don't matter. Let's talk about them. Amy, I don't know. Like, they beat the Canadians.
You summed up the whole conversation. Okay. Right.
Thanks,
there.
Amy. We'll talk to you again next week. I don't know. That's
that?
It. Yeah. All right. So they had that 2-game streak against Vegas and Montreal. And like they were back within 1 point of a playoff spot. And then they have that terrible game against the Blackhawks. They had a good effort against Utah, but still lost. They weren't great the next night against Vegas. And all of a sudden, I think it's 6 points back now. They go from 1-6. And like, it's just, I don't know. This is the moment I feel like where it's starting to feel like fate and destiny is set for this team.
Yeah. You know, when you look at the points, I kind of feel like I don't want to say they're irrelevant because you want ultimately to get a playoff spot. You don't really care how you get there. The problem is it's almost like an accident that the Blues are so close to a playoff spot because that mushy middle is not great and a lot of teams haven't separated themselves yet. I would say the first thing you need to do before you even think about the playoffs is get your first 3-game winning streak. Yeah. The Blues just haven't been able to string wins together. And so, again, when you put that into perspective, plus just the numbers that don't look good, they have the worst goal differential in the National Hockey League. They have scored, if not the fewest amount of goals, you know, bottom two, fewest amount of goals. They've let in, if not the most amount of goals, bottom two for letting in the most amount of goals against. And so those are problematic, and it almost feels like an accident that you're even talking about potentially snagging a wild card spot. I think you got to focus on getting 3 wins in a row.
Now, in the last week or so since we've last spoken, Philip Broberg did sign a contract extension with the team. And this seems, of all the negative things that have happened this year with the team, Broberg's been pretty good. He's been really good since the moment he became a Blue. It felt like this was a really, really good decision for the organization.
Yeah, it really is. And I think he has nothing but upside when you look at that 6-year extension and you look at his defensive upside, his offensive upside. This is a good signing for the Blues. And I think it's also forward thinking. I don't know if fans are like, oh my gosh, here we go, another lengthy extension. This is a good one. He's young. It's for the future. It's building that defense. And so I love it. It super stinks that I feel like minutes after signing that extension, he gets knocked out of the game by Mark Stone of the Vegas Golden Knights. I believe he's still day-to-day with concussion protocol, so hopefully he is feeling better and gets back sooner rather than later. But this is a good signing. This is, you know, if you look at some of the other contract extensions as not moving on when they should have, this is a move that is future-facing.
Yeah, very much so. And in a year worse, they may move on from some guys. Good that Broberg's not going to be in that group.
Yeah.
He's not skating tonight. Matthew Joseph, he goes on to IR with Nick Bjugstad back. And then the Robert Thomas thing, because yesterday when Jim Montgomery was speaking to the media, he started by saying it's a maintenance day, why Thomas didn't practice yesterday. And then there was a follow-up later on in his scrum, and he talked a little bit more about the lower body injury and that he was actually questionable for today, and now he's not playing. Is this just something nagging, or is this something that we should be worried about?
You know, you know how the National Hockey League is. They're not great at sharing details. As far as I know, this is just something new that popped up. I really thought it was a maintenance day. So you know as much as I do as far as that goes. Like you said, some of the guys coming back from injury recently, like a Bjugstad, like a Walker. And so you're getting some guys back. I'm not quite sure what to make of Thomas. But, you know, it's that big picture where you have a top line that's not scoring, where Justin Falk was leading the team in goals, then I don't think it's like a huge loss right now if it's just a couple of games, right? I feel like there's no need to panic. It's not like we're in the critical position right now. Anyway, you've got to be able to string together three wins. I'm not quite sure what to make of this team, but don't count on the 11-game winning streak, because the Blues lost a lot of veteran leadership, you know, on defense with Ryan Suter. They had, you know, Nick Leddy. And then they also don't have an offensive line that's producing. So don't count on a big post-Olympic break in the same vein that the Blues had the post-Four Nations break.
It's not great when you don't have a great defensive group and you don't have a great offensive group.
You know what? And then you throw in the struggles that they've had in goaltending to start the season. So I'm glad that they've been able to pull that together. But you're right. If the offense, the defense, and the goaltending are struggling, I'm not sure where you look.
Well, on that note, Amy, we are going to let you go. We remind folks that they hear you every day alongside of Chris Ronji for Chris and Amy, 9 to noon. And, of course, more hockey from Amy with Offside Hockey with Curbs and Amy. That is on Matrix Midwest. Check that out for sure. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk again next week.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Very good. That's Amy Marks, of course, joining us here on the program. All right. We did our football, we did our hockey, and now we're back to baseball. We have an hour and 20 minutes left in this show, and we are doing nothing but baseball between now and then. So here in our next segment, we actually have a little bit of time here. We're going to start playing back some of the audio from Heim Bloom in the 7 o'clock hour after we talk with Alex Coyle. So we're going to take an early break here. If you have comments on the Arenado trade, we welcome them now. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. You can also leave a comment in the chat. But this is maybe your best opportunity to get in here if you want to call and talk through things. So 314-436-7900. We can line up some phone calls to get to before we get to the end of the hour. It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. We're back with more in a moment on KMOX.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
It is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Between now and 8 o'clock, we're going to do nothing but talk Cardinals, talk through the Nolan Arenado trade today. We welcome your phone calls at 314-436-7900. You can also text that number. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, and you can leave a comment in the video chat. I really want to give you a forum tonight on days like these where we have big news. It's not so much about arguing or you going back and forth. It's more about allowing you to have that that forum. So we'll do that today. Let's start with Irwin, who's given us a call. Hey, Irwin, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hi, guys. How's everybody?
Doing all right.
Yeah, listen, I've been a Cardinal fan, since 67. I was 10 years old then. And I watched the 67, 68 series. And then all of a sudden, the Cardinals went through this dry period of the 70s. And it just seemed like they were in a rebuilding process. You know, they tried to throw in a star here and there, like a Reggie Smith, Ted Sizemore, you know, Richie Allen. And the team just went nowhere. And I just get the same feeling Cardinal fans are going to go through a 10-year struggle here. I just don't see any talent. It's just not there. You know, I don't know about these new pitchers coming in and just inconsistency ball, you know, in St. Louis right now.
Yeah, Irwin, I guess, I mean, I think you're, when you say you don't see talent, I mean, Mason Wynn is a very talented defensive player. I think you're maybe leaving a little short on a guy like Ivan Herrera, who's a very, very good hitter. I think there's a talent void, but I would push back a little bit on you saying that you just don't see talent.
Well, you know, I mean that, you know, the 70s had talent too. You know, they had their Tysons and their, you know, Luke Brock was still on the team, and I think Simmons came on during that period, didn't he? You know, I mean, they had some talent, you know, in pockets there, but they just couldn't accomplish anything. And I'm just afraid that St. Louis fans are gonna suffer here for a while until they get this thing figured out. You know?
Yeah, Irwin, I appreciate the phone call. I think this is where all I can say is simply state this. But there's not a lot I can say to prove it, and we'll just have to wait it out a little bit. I think there needs to be a little bit of faith given to this new baseball regime led by Heim Bloom that he's making the correct decisions to bring talent into the organization. I'm excited about a group that has J.J. Weatherholt and Mason Wynn and Alec Burleson and Joshua Baez and Quinn Matthews and Liam Doyle and Leonardo Bernal. Like I'm excited about those players. Some of them are not ready. Most of them are not ready. And even the ones that are ready, we can't assume that J.J. Weatherholt's going to be an all-star the moment he puts on a major league uniform. But I think it's fair to say that the expectations for Weatherholt is he is an all-star caliber player year in and year out once he really gains traction as a big leaguer. That's going to take a little bit of time. So there's people out there. I see them on the chat every single day as we do the show on YouTube. And there's no faith. There's no faith in what's going on. And you have that right to have that opinion in not having faith. And I don't think I can like push people in the direction of having it. All we can do is live through this thing together and see what happens on the other side. Let's give Don an opportunity. Hey, Don, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, Matt. I appreciate you taking my call. Here's three things I want to throw at you, and you can answer them which way you want to answer them. I was a big Arenado fan. I'm sorry to see him go, but it was time for him to go. And basically, what are they going to do at the winter warm-up? How many tickets are they going to sell for that event, and how many tickets are they going to sell during the season? Because, you know, this team could lose 100 games, Matt. It's very possible. I'm not saying they're going to, but how many people are going to go out to the ballpark and see a team that's not ready to win yet? And I appreciate you if you answer those questions, and I'll stay on the line and listen to your comments.
Yeah, Don, appreciate the phone call. I think that they are expecting a decrease, a moderate decrease in ticket sales. I haven't talked officially with anybody, but just the rumblings I've heard has been that season ticket renewal rates are about what they were last year, which I think was around 80%. But if you lost 20% of your season tickets last year and then you lose another 20% this year, that's, you know, even if you can be happy about an 80% renewal, and I don't know how many new season tickets are being sold, there could be a reduction in tickets. Winter warmups could be really interesting. And I don't say this to like stump for the team, but I believe strongly in this. Winter warmup is such an important part of what Cardinals Care does as a charitable arm. And Cardinals Care has a profound impact on so many charitable organizations throughout the region. I hope people still show up. If you want to not show up to games because you want to make a statement, that's one thing. But the opportunity to help out from a charitable standpoint, from a family, I mean, that's just, you get to go into the Cardinals clubhouse and you get to go into the museum and there's a lot of things going on. So I don't know how ticket sales are going for winter warmup. We'll find out this weekend when we get there and see what the crowds look like. But I really hope that fans that are kind of on the fence on it, that if they can make it happen, they do make it happen. But losing a Hall of Fame, Nolan Arenado is not playing at a Hall of Fame level anymore. He wasn't, okay? But he's maybe the greatest defensive third baseman of my lifetime, and he is going to be in Cooperstown. He is a huge, huge name. They don't have a huge, huge name on the roster anymore. And is that something from a marketing perspective that they have to work through for the upcoming season? Yes, but I don't think you make decisions because of marketing. You make decisions because you want to win a World Series. And they're probably not winning a World Series in 2026. They're probably not winning a World Series in 2027, but they want to get closer to that eventual goal. So sometimes you have to make some really tough decisions, knowing that there might be some immediate steps back for some big steps forward later on down the line. Let's grab Mike, who's giving us a call. Hey, Mike, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to just voice my opinion and my support, which is not a very popular thing, you know, today, for ownership, because, and for Bloom, they have eaten like $60 million. They've owned their mistakes that Mo made and the organization made. They let Nolan Arenado and Goldie down when they brought them over here. They did not put a good team around them. But people who say that they are cheap, this should tell you that they are not cheap. They're willing to eat millions of dollars to correct, at least try to correct mistakes that they made. And everybody needs to just freaking get off of this living in the past. He's not a Hall of Fame. I mean, he's not a All-Star any longer. He's not playing at a very high level. They had to do this. They're lucky that they got anything for him, in my opinion, other than just keeping him. I mean, they could have just kept him, but then Ollie would feel the need to play him, which would not, that would not be a good thing. And I just think people need to relax and embrace this. This is a rebuild. This is a rebuild. They needed the roster spot. They freed up a little more money to go towards somebody else. And you can comment on any of that, but I do want to ask you, because I know they're going to be upset when Donovan goes, if he goes. But what are the chances of them actually packaging, and I'm talking good prospects, or even Nootbaar or whoever, Mason Winn, with Donovan to get a good power-hitting young outfielder and change the face of this organization?
Yeah, Mike, it's a really interesting question for sure. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think Donovan goes somewhere basically on his own, and whatever you get for Donovan is what you're going to get. This team, they've talked so much about adding controllable talent. I don't think they're going to move on from controllable talent. And I understand your idea behind it, because if you've got maybe the best defensive shortstop walking the face of the earth right now in Mason Wynn, but you're able to go out and make a move where you feel like you're bringing in like an MVP level type player. If you package him with Donovan, why wouldn't you do that? Especially if there's years of control connected to him. Like the concept of that makes sense. So I'm not trying to be dismissive of the concept, but I think where the Cardinals are at right now, it's as much of a numbers game. When I say numbers game, it's just having dudes, and they moving on from controllable talent, I don't think is something that they are going to do right now. So moving on from a Mason Wynn. Now, could they, like, I don't, you mentioned Lars Nootbaar on it, like not a shot at Lars Nootbaar, but I don't think he adds, you're not going to get that much more back for Donovan by connecting a Nootbaar to it. Like Wynn and Herrera, and they're not moving on from Herrera. Wynn and Herrera, or I guess some of your top level prospects, like you don't want to walk away from a Reynel Rodriguez. You're obviously not walking away from a JJ Weatherholt. So I don't think the numbers add up. I appreciate the creative thinking. I just don't think it's going to happen. That is it for this hour. If you are on hold, it might be a little bit. We're going to do an interview after the 7 o'clock news. So we're probably not going to be back until about 7:20. That's when we're going to reopen up the phone lines. So if you're on hold, you can wait it out, or you can just give us a call back when we do get back into phone calls. But the 7 o'clock news, and then a conversation with Alex Coyle about this Cardinals trade coming up on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We have been spending a ton of time today talking about the Nolan Arenado trade, and rightfully so. We've not spent as much time talking about the return because it's a guy that is somebody the Cardinals fans may not see for a little while, although he is a college guy being drafted last year. Let's find out a little bit more about him. We're very happy to welcome onto the show. He is the AAA broadcaster for the Cardinals with Memphis, but he also does a lot of work with Arizona State Athletics, which is where Jack Martinez went to school. And Alex Coyle joins us right now. Alex, thanks for taking some time with us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me out here in Tempe right now. And once I saw the news, I'm like, okay, two worlds colliding there. And got to see a lot of Jack last season and excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, so give kind of the basic scouting report on what Cardinals fans can expect from a guy who is not considered a high-level prospect, but obviously the Cardinals thought enough of him to go out and acquire him.
Yeah, look, it's a guy that has taken the long road. Started out with D3 ball, spent a handful of seasons at that level, then mid-major D1, ultimately last season with Arizona State. But he's a big-time strikeout guy, mid-90s with a fastball that can touch 97, a changeup that flirted with a 50% whiff rate for the majority of last season. A guy that, look, again, strikeout-wise, had one of the top 10 seasons in Arizona State history with the strikeout rate. Like, I think the biggest question, though, is he going to start at the pro levels, or is he going to be more of a reliever? An interesting delivery that could really make that wipeout slider more dominant out of the bullpen, but you never know with his development and what he could bring.
I know it's not always numbers that translate to the next level. It's abilities that are then refined. But generally speaking, if you see a guy playing at the collegiate level who's going to strike out 110 in 77 and a third innings pitch, which is what he did last year at Arizona State, what does that generally look like when it's being projected to the next level?
Well, I think, you know, you can look at numbers and trends to tell the story on what you can do to project. And I think the biggest thing that stood out for me looking back at his track record and everything today when they announced the trade was, look, he more than doubled his strikeout output from his season at Louisiana Lafayette to what he did at Arizona State while only walking four more guys. He did so in 32 more innings pitched. So He completely fixed his struggles with command. He became a lot more consistent. Strikeout to walk ratio of 333 after a season where it was 1.72. He was really reliable, and that was part of the challenge of what, you know, with his coaching staff that has a great track record, and Willie Bloomquist at the head coaching position, and Jeremy Accardo, who actually spent a handful of years as the AAA pitching coach for the Brewers and developed a lot of their talent. They did a lot of work with him to being consistent in the strike zone, which allows his stuff. He was top 10 in strike zone rate with his changeup last season, which allowed him to have that 50% whiff rate. That's how good the changeup can be. So the development started to work there and can only be expedited in the professional ranks now in the Cardinals system.
What was your reaction when you saw it and being familiar with them? When you saw the Arenado trade come down earlier today and you saw his name being connected to it, what was that first reaction from you?
Well, you know, first was like, you know, trying to figure out all of the things of what went into that trade and how long that trade had been coming for the fans in St. Louis and everything back on that. But then you also add in the idea that this guy can be something really good and could be fast-tracked with this stuff if they want to see something in relief. If they want him to start, it's going to be a longer process. There's going to be more seasoning and tinkering with the delivery to make it repeatable over 5, 6, 7 innings that you can get out of him. But something that has a very, very high floor with the possibility of with his changeup and the development of his fourth offering being the big looping curveball to be something that can be pretty dominant, right? It's not going to be anybody that's going to be in the top 30 right out of the gate. It's not going to be somebody that's you know, you're like, oh, this could be a blue chip prospect, but someone that can surprise some people with stuff and one of those stereotypical guys out of college that you might see in the big leagues any year if they want to see him out of the bullpen. But it all depends on how he tracks and a good kid to do it that has a really good background, some really good family history on his dad's side in Louisiana and growing up through, you know, all of the things that made him the human that he is, fighting through Division III. He's been unsung for the majority of his life, and so he's a guy that's going to work hard for it.
Last thing for you, I want to take a bit of a left turn here before we let you go. But and I don't know if you've heard Chaim Bloom say this, so I'll tell you that he has said this. He's made it very clear that he views AAA as a very important part of development for players, and he feels like mastering AAA is something that is a box that needs to be checked. And bluntly, we're living in a period right now where a lot of organizations don't feel that way. It's about, you know, if it's a prospect, it's have them spend as little time at AAA as possible and get them to the big leagues. How do you feel about the fact that there's a guy now running the baseball operations for the Cardinals who, and I don't really know how John Mozeliak felt about it, but clearly Chaim Bloom has a lot of value of the development that occurs at the AAA level.
Well, look, I think depending on how you structure your organization, it means like if you value AAA a lot, not only are you going to send guys that you want and expect to make an impact at the next level, but also the staff that you send and the resources that you put at the AAA level to continue to be the finishing school of your prospect system to see them at the major league level. And look, there are so many arms, and I think from a hitting perspective, that is the biggest thing. There are so many arms, the stuff and what you hear from them, the difference between going from AA to AAA is, look, AA arms can throw a million, they can have some really good stuff, but the AAA guys know where it's going. They're a lot more refined. Plus, you have some of those veteran guys that have been at the major league level that are looking for a second chance or coming back over from Japan or Korea that, you know how to pitch to people, know how to pitch to you. So learning the game through that, it's exciting. I think, you know, in Memphis, we've seen some great prospects anyway. But I think, you know, to use that as a finishing school and maybe see a couple guys a little bit longer is going to be really fun for the fans there.
He is Alex Coyle. He is the voice of the Memphis Redbirds. He also spends a lot of time with Arizona State Athletics, working with Arizona State Hockey and some other things. You can follow him on Twitter at Alex_Coil. Alex, thank you so much for the time. Hopefully our paths cross in the not-too-distant future, but appreciate you taking some time and giving us some insight on the newest member of the Cardinals organization.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, and have a good rest of the offseason. A lot more exciting stuff to come, for sure.
There absolutely is. That's Alex Coyle. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We're back at it on KMOX. Appreciation to Alex Coyle for joining us and telling us a little bit about Jack Martinez, who the Cardinals have gone back for Nolan Arenado. What a day it has been. All right, so here's what we've got. We've got about 43 minutes left in the show. We are going to spend these 43 minutes kind of doing two things. We'll continue to be open to you. Phone calls, text messages, tweets, video chats. If you want to call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. We had some people who were on hold earlier in the final segment of the last hour, and they dropped off. If they want to call back in, or if you want to call back in and share your thoughts on everything that's gone down today, we welcome your phone calls. We're also going to go back through what Chaim Bloom had to say, because Bloom did meet with us. It was about 4:30 today, so he met with us shortly before Rush Hour Sports got started, and we'll share with you some of what he had to say. So we'll jump between. If Chaim says something that you want to address, give us a call, and you can do just that. Let's start, though, just to set the tone here. This was Bloom's opening remarks as he started his conversation with us about the moves that were made today.
You know, first off, as we announced earlier today, we've traded Nolan Arenado and cash considerations to the Arizona Diamondbacks for right-handed pitching prospect Jack Martinez. Just want to take a minute to thank Nolan, his family, and wish them all well. You know, we got to have here in St. Louis for a half a decade and to appreciate, you know, one of the best that's ever done what he does in the field and at the plate. He gave our amazing fan base so many wonderful things to appreciate over that time on both sides of the ball. He's someone who really appreciates this town as a baseball town at its best, who is a relentless competitor and someone who really wants to win. And we're appreciative of him as an organization. I personally appreciate a lot of the communication and getting to know him over the past couple years. We believe, as I've said all offseason, that this is something that is the right fit for us and the right fit for him at this point to move on and part ways. But nonetheless, we're all really appreciative of everything that he did here, and we wish him well. And before taking your questions, I also will go a little old school here and just make an announcement that we'll follow this up with a press release confirming reports that are out there that we've signed right-handed reliever Ryan Stanek to a one-year major league contract with a club option for 2027. I'm very excited to add Ryan to our bullpen. I've talked a lot this offseason about having, you know, not just talent down there, but also some been there, done that, someone who has the experience under their belt to be able to help out a younger bullpen, and the willingness to do so and the ability to connect with a lot of different types of people. I think Ryan brings all that, and we're also very excited about what we expect that he'll be able to do for us between the lines as well.
So there was a general rundown from Chaim Bloom on what he was thinking about the Arenado trade and what Arenado has meant to the Cardinals, while also making the announcement on Stanek. I don't think I addressed the question during the show yesterday, but somebody did either text or tweet in asking, hey, what's the delay on Stanek? Well, we didn't know it at the time, but they probably had a pretty good idea that this was coming down the pike. Now, if the Arenado deal would not have crossed the finish line and they signed Stanek and they would have had to move on from somebody else from the 40-man roster, I'm sure they were prepared to do that. But it works out well that they were able to at least hold off on Stanek long enough to get this deal done. And we've talked about that previously or earlier this offseason when they made a signing and there was a bit of a delay. Was that the May signing where it felt like maybe they were trying to work something else to open up a spot on the 40-man roster? That didn't happen. But I do think that that's got to be at least in the you know, at least part of the thought process when you're going through these things and you have a full 40-man roster. So the Cardinals were in this exact same situation last year in attempting to trade Arenado. It was close. They almost got him traded to the Houston Astros. That did not happen, and now they were back in the same spot this year. Well, even though Bloom was not the decision maker last year, he was still involved in the organization, and he did comment a bit on how it was different last offseason to this offseason in these Arenado trade talks.
It's hard for me to speak to that well. I don't really want to just because I was in a very different seat. You know, I know talking to Nolan coming into this offseason, I think was a bit more flexible in his own mind about where he was willing to go and on what circumstances, and that played out as we discussed it. But it's hard for me to compare. I just wasn't in the same seat last year, so I don't want to jump to conclusions. It'd probably be something that he could speak to better. But going into the offseason, he was very clear-eyed, about the situation he was in and about the type of year he was coming off of and what that might mean, and also the types of things that he was open to at this point in his career.
And coming back around comparing last year to this year, because the Cardinals are sending significant money. They are essentially eating, $26 million and then another $5 million beyond that in deferred money. So when all is said and done, it's going to be $31 million that the Cardinals end up picking up they're paying Nolan Arenado $31 million not to play for the Cardinals. You can also look at it as they're paying $11 million less to get the opportunity to move forward with some other pieces. Like, it's all semantics and how you want to put it, but they are sending money and a significant amount of money with Arenado. The reports were, and sports producer extraordinaire Kyle Sixta looked this up for me, which I appreciate. The reports were last year that the Cardinals were willing to send somewhere between $15 and $20 million with Arenado. So if they would have gotten that deal done with the Astros last year, they probably would have been paying somewhere between 15 and 20. And you have to remember that was prior to last year. So there were 3 years left on the contract for Arenado at that point. Well, depending on how you want to look at it, they're sending between $26 and $31 million this year for 2 years. So they're sending a lot more money, and people can be kind of sarcastic about it and say, they're spending all this money for him not to play for the Cardinals. There's also, who we're not hearing from? We're not hearing from the DeWitt family is cheap people today. Those people aren't showing up. Those people aren't popping into the text, because outside of that Mets year with Scherzer and Verlander, when they tried to move on from those guys and eat all of that money, we have not seen a major league organization eat as much money as the Cardinals are eating right now between Arenado, Gray, and Contreras. And with Gray and Contreras is a little bit different, because they sent more money as a way to get better prospects back. They were essentially buying prospects from the Red Sox in the way that they did that. On paper, it goes down as you're eating some of the contract. They weren't really eating the contract. They were buying prospects. But with this one, you're eating a contract. I think Kevin Wheeler and I would actually disagree a little bit. We talked about this in Rush Hour Sports, because Kevin has the feeling that if there was a possibility where the Cardinals may have sent less money and they would have gotten a lesser prospect. I don't know. This is the prospect they got back, and I'm not trying to denigrate him. He's somebody who could pan out for this organization for sure, but this is not some super high-level prospect that you're going to go pay for the way the Cardinals did with the Red Sox on the other two moves. But no matter how you want to view it, there has been a significant amount of money that is spent, an organization that has been somewhat averse to sending money and lots of money in deals. It's happening right now. So let's at least take note of that. If you are in the camp of the DeWitts are cheap and they're not willing to do that, well, remember that. Now, if you are in that camp, you can also say, well, they got out from $11 million. So that it is still at the end of the day, it's still a cost savings for them. And that's not wrong either. So, but I think the bigger number is the money that is being sent back. This question was asked. I thought this was interesting because there's been a rumor here and a rumor there about who the Cardinals might be connected to for Arenado. And again, he had full no trade protection. So it had to be somewhat collaborative on who Bloom talked to and how far he would get down the line with conversations before making sure that Arenado was going to be okay with a deal getting done. But this was Bloom's response. I thought it was interesting on whether or not this was the first deal this offseason that was presented to Arenado.
There's some things about the whole process leading up to this that either way, I just wouldn't get into. I don't think that's you know, fair to get into all that. But what I would say is dating back to September when we talked that last weekend of the season in Chicago, there was ongoing communication. And, you know, enough of a really good, ongoing conversation that, you know, we were able to get to this. And it became clear as we were approaching this that this is something that he was going to be interested in. And, you know, that, you know, if and when we got it over the line, that it would be something that he would want to do.
Bloom also talked through the timeline because this kind of came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, like this afternoon, all of a sudden, Katie Wu and Jeff Passan, Mark Feinsand, few other people, they all of a sudden started tweeting, hey, Arenado to the Diamondbacks might be a thing. And like 15 minutes later, it's done. Bob Nightingale, I think, was the first one with the numbers on it. And I know that Bob is really connected to the Diamondbacks organization. I believe he lives in the Phoenix area. And more often than not, if something's going on with the Diamondbacks, there's a good chance that Bob's going to know. That's one of the teams that he is most connected to. And he did have the money details shortly after, but this happened fast. There was earlier in the offseason, there'd been some rumblings about the Diamondbacks having some interest in Arenado, but that had kind of died down. And really the recent narrative had been that the market is moving slow. I think it was John Heyman, not even a week ago, who talked about that and said the market is moving slow. And it wasn't that long ago that Buster Olney threw out there once again that, you know, the Cardinals might just have to release Arenado, which Bloom had said over and over and over they were never, ever, 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 ever going to do. So I don't know why that kept getting thrown out there. But this was not something that percolated for a while. It popped. It popped very quickly. And this was kind of how Bloom assessed the timeline of what went down.
Yeah, there's some things I could share about that. Like I said, as far as concerns and conversations I had with Nolan, those were ongoing all the way dating back to the fall. You know, just knowing the situation, obviously it was not a secret. I don't think it was a secret within the industry even before I stepped into this seat. And, you know, I wanted, as I try to be always, to be very open and honest about the situation. And so, you know, did not make any secret of the fact that we were looking for a match in a trade and that was something that fit Nolan as well. So, you know, certainly that was reflected in the conversations that I and other members of our front office had with other clubs. You know, all that being said, this particular scenario really picked up a lot of steam relatively quickly and only in recent days. We had conversations here and there, you know, with Arizona about this at points to where you knew he was on their board, so to speak, to some level, but it didn't really escalate until very, very recently.
That is Chaim Bloom speaking earlier today. He said a lot more. We're going to continue to go through it. Also, we could take your comments. In fact, we got a text message from a Cards fan in Cincinnati that says, it's amazing how so many vocal fans are unable or unwilling to understand that the Cardinals are in a rebuild mode and why it has become necessary. The development program is changing. We need to give it time before judging whether it is a success. And I tend to agree with that. Maybe I go overboard on the foregone conclusion that this is going to be really, really successful. That's what I believe. I'm not being disingenuous with you when I say it, but I'm also smart enough to know that I have watched rebuild attempts across Major League Baseball trying to be conducted by very smart people, and they've just failed. So I'm not naive to say that can't happen, but I believe in what the Cardinals are doing, and I think opening up some space here for some other opportunities is something that's going to help this team. Unfortunately, like, we have all these arguments, right? Like, in the, there's not going to be a resolution for years. That's where we're at right now. So we can sit here at 7:31 p.m. on Tuesday, January 13th in 2026 and argue till we're blue in the face on either side of this thing, but then we just have to sit back and wait for years. And with all due respect to the Aces fan 2222 and the Deadly St. Louis and folks like that who are on our chat, I don't know if at 7:32 p.m. on January 13th of 2028 and 2029, you're going to be sitting in the same YouTube chat watching this same show where we can reconvene on what I believed and what you believed and who was right and who was wrong and the different twists and turns that that came upon during the 2 years. I'd love for that to happen. I hope I'm doing this. I hope everybody is still there, more people, but it is something where we might not be able to completely talk back through this thing, no matter what our opinion was, once there's some resolution. All right, more from Heim Bloom coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Back at it on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. We are kind of switching between playing back some of what Heim Bloom had to say earlier today during his Zoom call with the media, and also continuing to talk with you and get your thoughts on everything going on with the Cardinals as they do trade Nolan Arenado away today. Let's go back to the phones. John has given us a call. Hey, John, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yeah, I just had a question about Gorman. I wondered if, we've kind of suspected this is going to happen. Would they tell Gorman to go home and practice your defense? You're the third baseman. It's yours to lose. Or do you think they look at it differently? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's given the first opportunity. There's a bit of an assumption here that they are going to trade Brendan Donovan. If they don't trade Donovan, it gets very complicated at that point because you're probably looking at Weatherholt more at third base and Donovan at second. But the other side of that is Lars Nootbaar may not be healthy at the start of the season, and I don't think they're going to hand anything to Jordan Walker. He'll be given every opportunity to win a job, but it's not guaranteed. So all of a sudden, if you don't have Nootbaar and Walker's not an everyday guy, that might force an Alec Burleson or a Brendan Donovan back to the outfield, opening up spots, time either at first base or second base for Gorman. So first, if Donovan's gone, I think the answer to your question is yes, with the caveat of there has to be some performance. Last year, it felt like the runway, it wasn't unlimited, but it was close to it. There were going to be guys who were just going to be in the lineup and playing, like their performance didn't matter. And this year, I don't think it's going to be like that. Not something where if Nolan Gorman has a 3-for-40 week, he's going to be taken out of the lineup, but something where if you go for a month, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and you're hitting 172 and you're striking out twice a game, I think at some point the opportunities go away. But yes, that's a long answer to a short question. The short answer to the short question is I think Donovan's probably going to be moved, and I think the everyday third baseman will be Gorman, and the everyday second baseman will be J.J. Weatherholt. Obviously, those things can change. Appreciate the phone call. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. We've spent a lot of time talking about the money that the Cardinals are sending with Arenado. $26 million kind of right away or within the life of the contract. There's some more deferred money that they'll be on the hook on. So at the end of the day, it's going to be about $31 that they end up paying Arenado to play for somewhere other than the Cardinals over the next couple seasons. And Bloom did address the financial side of this deal.
The situation and all aspects of the situation, and there's no hard feelings about it. I think it's just where everybody was. To us and to Nolan, the situation just was really pointed towards a fresh start, a fresh start for him and just, you know, moving forward for us. So knowing that that was the best outcome, you obviously then had to factor in different things around potential trades, the financial parameters, et cetera, the return. Obviously recognizing there's a lot of different things that go into play. When you have a situation like this, where Nolan is also a party at the table, with full control over where he goes, you're really just looking for the match first and foremost. At the same time, my job is obviously to represent the interests of the Cardinals too, and make sure that the deal is something that, you know, we feel is in our interest and that we can justify. And certainly whatever financial flexibility comes out of it is a part of that. So it's all part of the calculus there. You know, at the same time, you don't want to get too picky and too cute with these things, because otherwise in a situation like this, you're just not going to end up with a deal if you do that. And, you know, that obviously wasn't going to serve anybody's interests.
Arenado's going to be in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about that. And in fact, we'll see what happens with some of the players who are on the roster, but this might end a run that the Cardinals have had for a while of having a future Hall of Famer on the active roster. It has been quite some time since they did not have somebody. And look, is there a possibility that a Mason Wynn gets there? Is there a possibility that a J.J. Weatherholt gets there? But we're talking about the Hall of Fame. You can't make any type of assumptions. There's probably a better chance that they don't. There is a better chance. Not probably. There is a better chance that they don't. So this would end the line of somebody that, and again, we'll see what things look like way, way, way down the road. It's tough to move those kind of guys, especially when they're in decline. And not in decline, but another one of those really high-level type players, we'll see if they're Hall of Fame or not, but super high-level player, was Mookie Betts. And Heim Bloom had to move him from Boston. And he talked about just the difficulty of moving these type of players, something he has done now more than once in his career.
Well, I'd like to think, and selfishly will hope and pray, that those two situations age a little bit differently. But yeah, you're right. It's not something you ever take lightly. you know, there's not that many people in the Hall of Fame, and to talk about him as I have and as I believe that he will be one of them someday, regardless of where he's at in his career, where we are, you know, that's not something you take lightly. It's baseball royalty right there. So, you know, we're mindful of that. You know, at the same time, a lot of what comes with this chair is not to let emotion and sentiment and nostalgia even override executing on what's best for this team and being fully committed to where we need to go. You know, I've talked a lot this offseason about if we are committed to this, the more we commit to it, the quicker we will get there and the better we'll be when we do. And to me, this falls into that category. So it's something that you can't not be mindful of it, but I can't dwell on it, and we can't think too much about it as long as we also think that what we're doing is the right thing for the organization.
While the focus does remain on who's leaving the team, and this isn't just for this deal, in fact, it's more so for the other deals that the team has made, it's about bringing in players to the organization that can help them win at a high level in the future. And Heim spent some time talking about the excitement of finding those future core players.
You know, I don't want to get too much into comparing situations, but just, I think it's easier just to speak to what it feels like right now. You know, I think first and foremost, to be doing it the way we're doing it, the number of these that we've done so far, you're only doing something like this if you're in a position as an organization where you're not where you want to be. And so, you know, that's not why any of us do this, and that's not where any of us want to be. So, you know, it, as an indicator of where we are, you know, it obviously, you know, is a sobering thought in terms of the ground we need to cover and the distance between where we are and where we want to get. It's motivating in that regard to make sure that we get this on a track to where that's not the type of business we're doing. There's always going to be tough choices. You know, there are teams that even when they're competing for World Series, they might move veterans occasionally. They might go target prospects occasionally. That's what good organizations do. But to be doing it at scale like this is obviously indicative of us being in a position that, you know, we hope to get out of sooner rather than later. At the same time, I think it's been energizing for our group, and I hope it's been energizing for a lot of our staff just to know that, you know, we are able to kind of reboot this around a group that's hungry and a group that has a chance to come together and form its own identity. It puts a lot on us as an organization, as a staff, to make sure we're doing what we can, you know, to tend that garden and make sure that that group comes together the way that it can and the way that we believe that it will. And it's exciting to be able to hunt down talent that we think can be here for a while and can be a part of this. You know, sometimes when you talk about trading veterans, it's sort of talked about as kind of, obviously you talk about, you know, selling pieces, whatever lingo you want to use. We also view it as hunting potential core players for the St. Louis Cardinals, hunting players who can be a part of celebrations and dog piles out of there, and that have a lot of that their best is in front of them, and they have a lot of runway left to get there. And then we have the challenge then of both finding that talent and then doing everything we can to bring the best out of those guys so that they reach that ceiling. That's exciting. That's motivating. At the same time, we recognize we got a ways to go in this journey. You know, it's part of the challenge. It's part of what makes this fun, that we get a chance to get up every day and take another step closer to that. And we know that the rewards are worth it, and that motivates us to get after it while we're doing this. You know, I can go back to stuff I've talked about earlier in the offseason about the urgency with which we have got to undertake this project, even if aspects of it are longer term. That's what I mean by this, is that work that goes in this every day to make the right moves, to find the right players, to do the right things, to develop them, to help our staff come together and create that right environment and push these players to where they can get. That gives me a lot of energy. I know it gives our group a lot of energy, and that's a big part of, you know, what motivates us as an organization every day.
That's Heim Bloom. We'll take one more break, come back, and we'll hear a little bit more from what he had to say today on a day where he trades future Hall of Fame third baseman Nolan Arenado to the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it for just a few more minutes. We've got our Gas House Gang replay coming up at 8 o'clock. I believe it was during the noon hour when this news broke, so
you'll be able to relive them finding out about this trade, the Arenado trade, essentially as it happened. Wanted to continue to play back. We've got just a few minutes left in the show. Wanted to continue to play back some of the things that Bloom had to say today during his media conference. Spent a little bit of time talking about what really both second base and third base look like next year with Arenado being cleared off the roster.
Yeah, as you mentioned, still a lot of offseason left, and just the way that this offseason has gone, you know, not even for us necessarily, but even across the industry, there's still a lot of unfinished business, even though we are now in mid-January. You know, this is an area part of why I think baseball-wise, outside of the particulars of the situation with Nolan, why I think baseball-wise, this is a move that makes sense for us, is because we do have a lot of players on this club and in this organization who can help us outside of players who have already played prominent and starting roles. Obviously, Mason and Brendan, but you know, we've been talking for a long time now about wanting to get opportunity for, you know, consistent opportunity for guys like Gorman. Didn't have the year last year that we were hoping. Obviously, there were times when the opportunity was inconsistent. But there were also, you know, some of that's also on him, obviously, and he knows that. This potentially opens up more opportunity for him, for a young player like a Sejesi, who has shown flashes of being able to contribute to a winning team. You know, this may potentially open up some more lanes for him. And then obviously that's without touching on JJ and other players in the organization that can help us both short-term and long-term. So we do feel like we have really good internal options there and really interesting internal options. And that is also part of why this made sense to us outside of, like I said, the particulars with Nolan.
And Gorman is a big, big part of that. I actually got a text message from 314 a few moments ago that says, Gorman hit 205 with tons of strikeouts, and you think he can be an everyday third baseman. Stupid. If you listen to the words that come out of my mouth, you know that I'm actually kind of down on Gorman. I was very, very disappointed, as I've said about a million times. I was very, very disappointed with the way he finished the season. I was frustrated for him during the season last year when he wasn't getting the opportunity that I thought last season was about. And then during parts of the season last year, he was arguably the best hitter on the team. But he finally, when Arenado got injured, he finally got that chance to be that everyday third baseman, and he didn't take it and run with it. So I was very disappointed, but you can't run away from this guy's potential. You can't run away from this guy's upside. And a guy who's done it, he had a year where he hit 27 home runs with an 806 OPS. If he can repeat that, that's a solid offensive piece that you have. And he's got even more power beyond that if he can put it together. So just ignoring the potential and the upside of who Nolan Gorman is, that's what's not smart. Just taking a step back and looking beyond second and third, but looking at the roster construction for next year, it's going to be a really young lineup, really, really young lineup. They aren't done yet, but maybe they need to add a veteran hitter just because of how young they are.
You know, I think for the most part, and this is true on the pitching side too, we are going to be a younger team this year. I think that's a good thing given where we are. And you could argue it's a good thing in almost any situation because usually young players have more room to improve. And like I said, their best days tend to be ahead of them, and that's exciting. I do think having some experience in that position player side, having both for the talent it could provide and in the leadership would be helpful. I'm hopeful that we line up on something at some point this offseason to add that, knowing that we have moved a lot of that off of our club. It would be nice to add some of it back. Don't know yet what exactly that's going to look like, but I'd like to think that it's something that we'll be able to do between now and when we get to camp.
Last thing, there was a little bit of talk about Ryan Stanek and him being added to the roster officially. Before we get out of here, we'll play just a moment of this cut from Heim, but this is some of his thoughts on why it was good to be able to add a player like Ryan Stanek.
Well, you said it. I mean, this guy for a long time has pitched with really top end stuff, not just velocity, but you know what he can do with his arsenal in terms of off speed pitches. He's pitched in real big spots. He's got plenty of experience. He's had a lot of ups and downs that he's learned from that other people can benefit from. Obviously, I have some history with him, but that was a while ago. He was a relatively young pitcher. He was actually at the point in his career that we talk about with some of these younger players trying to establish himself, as you know, with the whole opener situation, pitching in some unique roles to do it. you know, since then he's been in a number of different places. He's dealt with different ups and downs. And he, you know, he has learned some things and also pitched in some big spots, won a World Series, has a lot of different things on his resume and a lot of willingness to share the benefit of that with other people.
That is Chaim Bloom talking about Ryan Stanek and his ability to be a good veteran in the bullpen, something that it's a young group, so they got that covered. They'd be good if they could add to the position player group as well. It's been a fun one today. We've got a short show tomorrow between because of SLU basketball, but we'll still have Redbird Rush Hour, so I'll talk to you then for that. A little bit of Sports Open Line. Thanks for being tuned in. This is a fun show tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on KMOX.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.